So Parsha Matos starts out the following. It says, "Vayidaber Moshe al Roshei Hamatos libnei Yisrael lemor." Moshe spoke to the heads of the Shvatim of Bnei Yisrael, saying, "Zeh adavar sheziv Hashem." This is the thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Here's the problem. Matos, Roshei Hamatos, is not a phrase that's used elsewhere in the Chumash. We never know them as this. We know them as the Nesiim. We know them as maybe as the Nesiim of the Shvatim. Roshei Hamatos, number one, the fact that they call them Matos. Number two, they're calling them Roshim, as if they're the head. Why are we calling them that? And we said Zed of Asher Tziv Hashem. Now it goes into Nedarim. How careful a person is supposed to be with his words, what he should say and what he can't say. It's just a little strange. Why now do we have to go into these words, Roshei Hamatos, the importance of these words, Roshei Hamatos? So I'm going to give three answers, but all of them are going to be revolved around the exact same type of idea, and it's going to lead us through. So the Rambam says the following. The Nesiim had all died. All the Nesiim had died up until Nachshon Ben Aminadav. There's a question if Nachshon Ben Aminadav did something bad toward the end of his life and died among the Misonim, those who complained, or if he lived all the way to the 40th year. Regardless, Nachshon Ben Aminadav had just died along with all the other Nesiim. These are the new Nesiim. They have a different name. They're not as great, says the Ramban, as the Nesiim before them. The Nesiim before them were Nesiim. They were unbelievable people that you couldn't imagine, who may have made mistakes, but they were Nesiim. They were unbelievable people. These were the Roshei Hamatos. They weren't on the same level. Call Yeridus Hadoros if you want. But there was a difference between the Roshei Hamatos now and the people before. Says the Ramban, when you talk about Nedarim, we know. I mean, Yom Kippur, what is the... Everybody does it. Even the non-frumis. They get up there and they do Kol Nidre. Everybody knows Kol Nidre. They get the idea. All the Nidarm that we made during the year, we matter it up. Everybody's a meal. The Kol Nidre meal is a little bit different. But regardless, they do understand Kol Nidre. Everybody knows that we do this Hataras Nidarm. Hataras Nidarm is a strange thing. We do it Dafke at that time. It's strange. What?
Is that why they go?
Why go into them? Okay. Why go into them? Let's just go into us. But the fact is, we know that Nedarim is a Chomer issue. Mottering Nedarim and releasing you from such vows takes a lot. It takes yourself going to a Chacham and asking the Chacham, can you release me from this vow? That would probably not be the wording you would use. But you just ask for Hataras Nedarim, you say something, you have an excuse, and you get out of it. But it's impossible to do it otherwise. And the Chachamim are Mekel. If we gave all these halachos of Hataras Nedarim to everyone, we gave it over to the people, people would be unbelievably Mekel. People would have these coolers coming out of everywhere. They'd say, well, this is Mutter, and this is Mutter. I can make this Nether, and they make that Nether. Because they think that anything's fine. Why wouldn't anything be fine? They look at Nedarim, and they think to themselves, it's perfectly fine. But if we don't tell them that, we tell them, here's Parshas Nedarim. And we don't tell them anything about Hataras Nedarim. We give the Parsha of Hataras Nedarim to the Roshei Hamatos, to the people, the heads of state, so that they know about it, but not everybody does. People start being more careful with the words. They'll say to themselves, oh, we can't get ourselves out of it. And when they hear, well, the Chacham can get you out of it, they'll be surprised. They'll say, like, oh, really? Wow. But they're not going to come to make Nedarim, because they're going to think of it as more Chomer issue. But still doesn't explain the word Matos. Why the word Matos? The Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzim Rebbedishev, says an unbelievable answer. It says, Matos comes from the word lehatos, to turn people around. Moshe Rabbeinu was able to turn Midas Adin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to punish and destroy and bring things down, he could turn it totally into Midas Arachamin. He could turn the name of Elohim, Aleph Lamed Yud Hey Yud Mem, that stood for Midas Adin, into Yud Kei Vav Kei, into a shame of Rachamin, to make everything happen well. Not everyone has that ability. Only someone who's careful with their speech. I'm not going to be up there in this category. I'm definitely not careful with my speech. I say way too much, and I can't stop talking. I know who I am. I know the type of person I am, and I know what I'm like when I do that. If it's lo yachel dvaro, if you don't make your words into chulin, if you don't say, pardon my French when I say this, but stupid things, if you don't allow yourself to make yourself into just a speaker, and just say whatever you want, then kechola yotzimi pi v'yase. Anything that comes out of your mouth will be done. That's the yase. It's a mitzvah saseh. Do everything that comes out of your mouth. A mitzvah saseh to do so. Lo yachal dvaro is a lav. Don't profane your words. Don't say anything bad. But there's a little taich to the pasuk. Lo yachal dvaro, don't say anything bad. And the kol yozmi pi v'yaseh, you speak, it will be listened to. And it's guaranteed. if a person who is so careful with his words, he doesn't say Lashon Hara, he doesn't say anything bad to other people, he doesn't say those, so how's everything going? When he's got nothing else to say, he's just silent. That person, when he does speak, everybody turns their ear to listen to him. It's like, what? What's he saying? When somebody like, I hate to put it this way, but like, you hate to get political, but when like, Sarah Palin speaks, or Joe Biden speaks, you don't expect much. You really don't expect much. They're talking all the time. You don't expect anything at all. But when somebody, he can't really say it, if you have like a guy, again, Lahavdil, you know the guy like Brian Urlacher, who talks? It's like, what? It's got to be godless. The guy doesn't have anything to say. Like, well, he's only said like one word his entire life. So when he does speak and he's talking to somebody, unless it's just like, yes, like he says, he's just like, I got to listen. That's the idea, 100%. Like, you listen to them and they affect you more than anybody else. That was the idea behind it. If a Stom person goes up to you and says, Refuah Shleimah, it doesn't mean anything to you. But if a guy who's so like a quiet guy who never says anything goes up to you and says, Refuah Shleimah, it means something. Those two words mean something. Because he, mom, and forget about wanting it. Both of them could want it. But just it shows you that this guy is like wasting his speech, so to speak, on you. So he's trying to give it to you. It's a very big difference when you go, and I unfortunately have had this experience a week ago when I went to a Shiva house, and you say, I'm Malcolm Yenachem, it's called the Sorcerer of Elysium of Yerushalayim, and you watch a line of people doing it. The people who don't know what to say. We have no, you know, they talk all the time, whatever it is. Those people who aren't very careful, they just say, well, you know, he's lying. It doesn't affect. It doesn't have an effect. And the person is sitting there and he's careful with it, and he looks at him and he says, Hamakom Yenachem, and he goes around and he says it. That person has an effect. You can see the oval sitting there and saying, thank you. You can see him actually feeling that there was something behind what the person was saying. You can find that. Someone who's always silent just changes the world. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was like, and that's what Tzaddikim, the Rosh Yamatos, were like. They were able to turn around the world with their words. They were able to say something and turn around everything. I have a story. Fortunately, it's from the Mishpacha magazine, the junior Mishpacha magazine, which is my favorite part of any magazine or anything anywhere. Rav Mordechai Sharabi, related to Rav Sholem Sharabi, which was the Rishash, not the Rishash in the back of the Gemara, but the famous Makobo. Mordechai Sharabi, he gave a certain amount of money to one of his Talmidim to give out to all the Kol Yevalit, all the Kol people around. So he gave out that money for him to hand out. So the guy went and gave it out to every single person, but when he came to the last guy, he had no money left. He went back to Rav Mordechai Sharabi and he said, I have no money left. So Rav Mordechai looked at him and said, it's okay, Kodesh Baruch Hu will help. So the guy said, I still don't have any money. So Mordechai said, no. He took out his Gemara and he started learning. The Talmid sat there 15 minutes, just waiting to see what Rav Mordechai would do. A guy came into the house, said, Rav Mordechai, I owe you this money, put it down on the table, and Rav Mordechai turned to the Talmud and said, take this money, go give it to the Talmud who's missing it. So he picked it up, he said, there's more here than what's necessary. So Mordechai said, it must be that a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give him a little bit extra for waiting a little bit longer more than everybody else. Give it all to him. Give everything over to that guy, to that last guy. When somebody says something like that, if I would say, like, just give me 15 minutes, people would laugh. You're like, 15 minutes? Just give me the money. Like, no miracle is going to happen to you. But when Mordechai Sharabi says something like that, if a person goes out and does that, then you hear his words. His words mean something. The bracha of a tzaddik, when you go to them, actually means something. And not just somebody who's just talking all over the place. Tiferes Shlomo the Radomsker takes it at a different level. He brings down the famous, the psukim in the Torah themselves. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, Ma zeh b'yadcha, what is that in your hands? And Moshe Rabbeinu answers, Mateh, the staff. Right? So, yes, famous Kasha. What's he asking for? There's no reason, like, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just like, I'm not looking, what is it? Like, what's he doing? Clearly it's a matzah, clearly it's that. So what did he want from Moshe Rabbeinu? From Moshe Rabbeinu to say the word, it's a matzah. What did he want with that? So here we go. So he said the following. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is asking Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to lead the nation. And Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, no, no, no. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, tell me anything you want. Give me something that you want for yourself, that you can have, that you can lead the nation with. What kind of a midah? What anything? What can you use to lead the whole nation with? Moshe Rabbeinu's answer was, Amate, lahatos, lahatos lahem latova, to turn them around for good. Forget about being able to use your words and be able to make sure that your words turn midas adin to midas rachman. He wanted the ability to look at a person, for people to look at him and want to do good. for a person to go anywhere near him, like Rav Moshe de Leon, they say he lived about 500 years ago in Tzfas. They say that when people walked within Dalet Amos of him, they wanted to do tshuva. People walk Dalet Amos within me, they go want to watch a movie. That's what ends up happening. You have a person who is so holy, so unbelievably, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Let them look at me and be affected. Let them look at me and see something, that there's something different about me than anybody else. And he got that bracha. He got the Koran or Panav. He's shown, according to Michelangelo, horns. But he had this face that shone, and people looked at him, and they were scared of him. They could see Yiras Hashem. Says the Gemara, that Ma Hashem Elokecha Shol Meim Chalkim Lior. What does God ask from you except a theorem? And the Gemara asks, Atu Yiram Milsusu Trasihi? What do you think? Fear is so easy to do. God only asks you to fear him. Okay, but it's not so easy to fear God, is it? I mean, it's so easy, says the Gemara, in. Like, God, by Moshe, I mean, it was easy to fear him. Okay, but we're talking about me. For me, is it easy for me to fear God? Is it easy for me to have Yiras Hashem? Look at the Gemara again. It says the Baal Shem Tov. It says, if you had Moshe Rabbeinu around, you were going to fear God. Because you could look at Moshe Rabbeinu, and you see what the fear of God is on him. And you were able to take that for yourself. That's what he took. He took the matzah, the ability to turn things around and to do things differently. That's the Rosh HaMatos. The Rosh HaMatos not only had the ability through their speech to be able to turn things around, but they themselves were so powerful in everything they did. They themselves were so unbelievably powerful. They were able to be matzah other people's hearts to Shemayim, not like the Nesiim. The Nesiim were able to lift them up to Shemayim. Nesiim literally means to lift up, to bring them up. They weren't able to do that. They were able to make the people think to themselves, we got to do something better. They weren't on the level of the Nesiim to raise them up on their own without them thinking anything whatsoever. Oh, yeah. That's the idea of tefillah, but that's Chassidus Shavuot. We don't have to go into the end of the Radamska. I think you can take that in tefillah, how a Chassidus Rebbe's tefillah can bring you up, but that's a different issue. Rav Shor ends this off. I saw this Rav Shor last year when I was in Skokie Yeshiva for Shabbos, for Yeshiva Kayetz. I happened to be staying in a room where the only sefer that was there. What?
Father or the son?
Of what?
Rav Shor.
Rav Shor. Oh, Rav Shor. Rav Avram Shor.
Yeah.
Rav Avram Shor, who is it? So the sefer of, and sefer of, what is it? Lekach Valibu. So it happened to be that I was staying in a room. The only sefer that was in the room, and I had to watch my kids, the only sefer in the room was the Lekach Valibu. I had left my son downstairs. I didn't know where my wife was. So I had to watch the kids, and I only had the sefer. So I looked it up. Unbelievable little board, and it has everything to do with this. Anything said by these Rosh HaMatos must be accepted as if everything they say is 100% correct. Let me put this another way. You know, bringing it down to our level, okay, we may not be the people that when people look at us, they get affected and they want to do tshuva. You go into a store and people don't think tshuva, they think a sale. That's all they do. We're not that type of people. We might not be able to be the people that we are able to turn people around and turn midas adin into midas rachamim. That might not be for us. Not everybody's like that. But there is a level that we can do. That is to accept those words. To be matzah ourselves and bend ourselves over to lower ourselves in front of those who are greater than us. To see those that are gedolim, that are tzaddikim, that are big rabbanim, and to say to bend ourselves for them, to them, and to be matzah to them, to bend our heads to the roshim and say, you guys make the decisions, not me. You know, my toenail also likes making decisions. It likes doing a lot of things. It tells me all the time, I think we should go that way. But my head says, no, that's a wall. You can't go there. The toenail makes just dumb decisions. The head does it because it's got a brain. The Rosh HaMatos are the roshim that turn every other part of the body. You might think you're a head. If you're a head, you'd have people following behind you. You'd have people like serving you drinks. You'd have people going around. You're not a head. We're ankles. We're toenails. We might be a knee. That might be the highest we can get up to. Might be a knee. Barely up to the waist. For sure not any higher than that. That's that. For us to be matzah ourselves to gedolim and to say that their decisions that they're making is correct, even though we see it differently, is where Rosh HaMatos comes from. That's the third vort altogether from Rav Shor. Even if the Reitza seems strange, even if it looks like it's not right, even if you sit there, they're the Rosh. They're the heads. They're the ones who are in charge of anything else. And he says that's pshat behind Yiftach and Pinchas. For all of those who did not go to seminary, Yiftach and Pinchas is a famous maisa in Tanakh, in which Yiftach, or I don't think he has an English name, Jephthah, Okay, so either way, Yiftach was a... Yiftach went to war. He was one of the Shoftim. He went to war. And his way out to war, he swore to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he promised to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, I will, if you let me win this war and if everything goes well, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes out the door to you. I will give it over to you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to the nether. He won the war. He came back and the first thing that came out his door was his daughter. And he sat there and he said, Oy vey, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? And there's a machlokas between the Rishonim if he did sacrifice his daughter, if he killed her, or if he just sent her away for the rest of her life. And she stood on top of a mountain. She was nothing to do with humanity for the rest of her life. But anyway, regardless, he didn't mount her up the nether. Why didn't he go to get a hatara? And there's a bigger question. Pinchas was around. Pinchas, Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron HaKohen was still alive. Later on became Eliyahu HaNavi. Pinchas was still alive. Why didn't he go to Yiftach? Why wouldn't he go to Yiftach? You say he answers for Yiftach himself, but why wouldn't Pinchas go to Yiftach? That would be the first thing you think to do. You're the Kohen Gadol. You're the guy who's in charge. You're the Rav. Go to the Shofet and say, I can mount up your netter for you. You don't have to kill your daughter. Why wouldn't Pinchas go? Says for sure, because Pinchas knew the only way that a Chacham can matur a neder is if you're moded to his superiority over you. If you think you're greater than him, then he has no ability to take your neder and turn it around. Because anything that he says, you'll say, nah, I didn't really think that way. The whole point behind a Torah's Nadarim is to say to yourself, I was wrong. I did something wrong. And if Yiftach can't do that, if he can't admit that he had done wrong, then I can't do anything for him. Pinchas felt there was nothing that he could do. He couldn't be mata that netter for that reason, because he wasn't being mata. He wasn't turning himself into Pinchas, to the Gadol Hador, and saying, what do I do? What can I do? How can you help me? He wasn't doing that. So Pinchas couldn't do anything at all. Pinchas was punished, because he should have gone anyway. Leave those things up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even if you can't really be mata netter, do everything that you possibly can. Maybe Yiftach was too embarrassed. Maybe there was a svara that Yiftach had, which he did. He had a svara as to why he didn't go. But a person can't think that way. For him to be able to not go messed over the daughter of Yiftach, and for that, Pinchas was questioned whether he was killed and didn't become Eliyahu HaNavi, or he lost part of his ability to be in Olam Hazeh. And that's his Eliyahu HaNavi, that he had to go up to Shemayim and wasn't allowed to be here. Regardless, there's something weird. It's such a strange, strange parsha. To be able to give yourself in and to say to yourself, you know, I don't know everything. I just don't know everything. And to say it specifically by Nidarin, when a person promises something and swears, I think we all know what we're talking about. Guy gets up there, I swear to you this is true. I love it. I love it. When, like, I'm in Yeshiva Kayetz now with these kids coming in camp and saying, like, I swear I was sleeping. Like, don't swear to me. Whatever you do, don't swear to me. I don't care that much. What I need to, like, take a holy Bible and, like, put your hand on it and, like, say, tell me you swear. But we all do it. Because we all say to ourselves, I'm positive that I'm right. I promise you this and that and the other. And we're all ready for it. We all want to do it because we all think that we're 100% right. Nobody can knock us down. But maybe we're not right. We might have just made a mistake. We might have done something wrong. To be mata ourselves, to turn ourselves over a little bit, and to bend ourselves over and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I might have done something wrong. That's what we want. After this, we go into the war against Midian, Melchamas Midian. The whole thing is the biggest pella you've ever heard before in your life. What did Midian do? Them and the Benos Moav all sent their women against Bnei Yisrael to knock them down. So what was Bnei Yisrael commanded? Go to Midian and destroy every man, woman, child, and animal. Destroy them all. Now, they kept the animals alive. Certain animals they kept alive. They were told to kill everyone. Well, what did the kids do? Why would he kill the kids? And when they came back with 32,000 girls under the age of 3, this is Rav Schwab, it shows you how big of a nation Midian was. They had 32,000 people under the age, 32,000 women under the age of 3. They came back with certain people. Moshe better get angry at them. What's wrong with you? You didn't kill the 3-year-olds? I mean, how is this? How is that Shaykh? It's the biggest power of a war ever. Amalek, okay, it's a mitzvah in the Torah, I understand that completely. Amalek, there's something that is lacking over there. Why the kids? There's got to be something within the system. Something within the system. The 7 nations of Canaan, they called them out for peace. They said, if you make us come in, we're going to kill you all. They made them a peace overture before they came in. That I can somewhat understand, but Midian? What did Midian have to do with anything? So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't fight them. Why couldn't Moshe Rabbeinu fight them? Because he grew up there. So who did he send in? Pinchas. Pinchas is the grandson of Yisro. What's the difference between Pinchas and Moshe? The is Pella after Pella. And then after this, what goes in? We go into and we say, how much shlal they got, all these women, all this sheep, all the cattle, all the goats. Goes through everything, right? And then it's like, and here are the halves of all the numbers. Look, I can't divide by two. I mean, we're wasting sukkim. Even Rashi says v'chulu after a while. He just says v'chulu. You look at Rashi and just say v'chulu. I got nothing else over here.
This is the grandson of who?
Yisrael. Because remember, he was Ben Poti from last week's parsha, in the very beginning of the parsha. Ben Poti, the son of the one who fattened calves, because he was the grandson of Yisrael. Elazar ben Aaron HaKohen married one of Yisrael's daughters. Even Rashi himself says v'chulu. There's nothing else to say. What do we have to go through? All these different things, all the halves and everything else. I mean, this just—it's the biggest pal in the world. So let's go into a little bit over here. I'm going to go into how they killed them. It says Nikom Nikmas ben Yisrael Me Eis Hamidyanim, from the Midyanim. You know the word MS and the word Me'es both consist of those letters, Mem, Aleph, and Tav. What's the pshat? Every nation in the world and every nation in the world that's not Jewish has their koach within a malach. That malach is known as their aluf, the one that's in charge of them, the one that has all their chachma and everything that they could possibly need. If their malach is gone, then the nation is gone. When they saw Mitzrayim running after them at Kriyas Yam Suf, they saw Mitzrayim, the malach, running after them. And that's why they got scared, because the malach is running after them. The malach is running after them, what are they going to be able to do? But then later on, by Yara Yisrael, as Mitzrayim, Nisal Sfas Yam, they saw Mitzrayim itself, the malach, dead on the banks of the sea, so they knew Mitzrayim was over with. There was nothing left. The whole nation was completely gone, because the malach is gone. Everything is gone. That aleph is the life force behind the entire nation. You take it away, and they remain as mem and tuf, mace. Take the aleph out of mace. You take the aleph out of MS, you take one little tiny thing out of the truth, and it becomes mace. Becomes dead. Becomes dead to everyone. It's mamish nothing. It's absolutely gone. There's nothing left. That's the idea behind it. B'nai Yisrael fought against a huge nation. And they only brought how many people? 12,000 men. Why? Because these 12,000 men knew how to take out the aleph, knew how to destroy the malach of that nation. How? They were the aleph lamata. Unbelievable little line. They were the aleph. They had the aleph for every shevet. They were the special people from every shevet that were able to, whether it has to do with Nedarim or not, that they were careful with their word. They were the people who knew that if they had hear Hurim run, they have to do tshuva. These types of people are the only people who could go. Because if somebody else went, something bad might happen. But even so, it wasn't the same. We go into over here the parsha of Giulei Nachrim. What happens if you have a kli that's owned by a goy? How do you get rid of the blia? How do you get rid of the taste that's in the kli? And how you kasher out the kli and doing things like that and toveling a kli? It goes into all that at the end of this week's parsha. This is not the first goyish war they fought. It's not the first shlal that's ever been taken. It's not the first time that they had booty from a war. What happened to Sichon and Og? When they fought Sichon and Og, they had the exact same thing happen. Why didn't they have the exact same halachos?
What happens to now we know? From Mitzrayim, same question.
Mitzrayim, I guess you could answer, was before Har Sinai. So you could say it's before the Torah, so they didn't have any chiyuvim. But over here, they had chiyuvim. The only three wars in which they fought in the nation themselves and took shlal was Sichon, Og, and over here by Midian, until they went to Eretz Canaan. So the question is, so why not mention this stuff beforehand? Famous question. The Ramban answers it. The Rabbeinu Bachaya answers it. All the Rishonim get into it. And all the Achronim get into it as well. Here's the answer that I got from the Tzfar Shlomo, from the Radamska. The Radamska says the following. When Moshe was with them, like he was by Sichon and Og, how do we know he was there by Sichon and Og? You know the famous Maisa with Og. He jumped up, he's 10 amos tall, and he's jumped 10 amos, and his staff is 10 amos, and he killed Og. Regardless of whether or not that's pshat, I hold it's pshat. Regardless of whether or not it's pshat.
But he jumped and he only hit out.
He only had his ankle, 100%. Regardless of the pshat, which is true, regardless of it all, Lamaisa, when it boils down to it, Moshe Rabbeinu fought in that war. When it was Sichon, Moshe Rabbeinu fought in the war. When Moshe Rabbeinu fights with you, you don't have to do much. In fact, Tver Shlomo says, they didn't even bring any weapons. They got nothing on them. They came into the war with just their fists. You know what that's like, Brian. Fighting in a war, government, Gavi, come on. You know what this is like, just going with your fists. You don't need any guns. They just went in. Yeah, I got your guns right here. Like, that's it. They went in. They just went in, and Moshe Rabbeinu just took care of them all for them. Moshe Rabbeinu just walked in. I you can't picture it, because all you think of is like one of these like superhero movies where like a guy goes in like, oh, like everyone is just dead. Like everyone is just dying. I don't know how to picture it exactly, but Moshe Rabbeinu was able to take away their kedusha. He easily had the ability to take away an aleph. And when they had no kedusha left, he pulled in all their kedusha, left them with all their tumah. They just became a gal shalat tamos, a pile full of bones. As you'll see in the Gemara, when Rav Yochanan looked at somebody and turned him into a Gal Shal Atzamos, when Rav Kahana looked at somebody and turned him into a Gal Shal Atzamos, there was a possibility for them to do that by taking away all their Kedusha and leaving them with all their tumah. They just turned into a pile of bones. There's nothing left. They're all dead. That's taking out the real Aleph. Not everybody was able to do that. And in this war, Midian, Moshe Rabbeinu was not there. He did not fight. He sent Pinchas instead. Pinchas was not on the same level. With the Kedusha that they were pulling in that Aleph, pulling in the Aleph from that nation, they also pulled in a little bit of Tumah. So the Kalim that they took still had remnants of the Tumah, stuff that they pulled in, that not only the Kedusha they pulled in, but the Tumah they pulled in as well, and was still on the Kalim that they took. So because of that, beforehand, we never have to know about Giuli Nachrin. The Kalim they took from Sichon and Og were Torah immediately. Moshe Rabbeinu took out all that Tumah. All that Tumah was gone. The Tumah was destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu kept only the Kedusha for himself. But when it came to now, right now, Moshe Rabbeinu is not there. So all the Kedusha that was there also had a little bit of Tumah in it. So the Kelim that they took needed Giyulei Nachrim. It needed some type of Haggala. It needed some type of Tevila. It needed something else to be able to take care of it, to go around. Ask any Rebbe and any Baal Teshuva Yeshiva on the entire world. Do you think you're going to go in there and not be affected? You're wrong. You're wrong. There's no way. There's no way you can do it. You can't go in and expect to teach people that are on this certain level and say, like, I'll be up here. I'll be fine. Won't be any issues with me. I'm not going to have anything to do. That's what happens. That's what happened to these people when they went out to the war. That's why at the end of the day they needed to bring a kapara. For what? For your Hurim Rayim. And these Gedolim who are pulling out the Aleph out of these people, they're going to have your Hurim Rayim? They said, yeah. Because we're going out to a war and we're going to mess up. Something is going to happen. And it's not going to be, we don't know what's going to happen. This war led to the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu. After this whole war is over, you're going to be gathered in, because the koach of Moshe Rabbeinu is waning throughout all the people. It's no longer the ability to go into a nation and just destroy them all just by walking and taking out their aleph. They're slowly but surely losing it. And now Pinchas is starting. Then Yoshua is going to start when they go into Eretz Canaan. And they don't have the choice anymore. It's just a little bit different. Now they need weapons. Now they actually have to fight. Now there's actual war going on. That's the difference between now and then. At the end of it all, HaKadosh Baruch Hu counted those halves. What's the pshat behind that? Because again, says Reb Schwab, the whole war was the biggest power that you can ever imagine. The whole thing didn't make any sense. Why not just send Moshe Rabbeinu? Why not allow him to go in? It's so beyond our seichel. But sometimes, you just have to listen to the Gadol Ador. The Gadol Ador tells us to fight. He tells us that once we fight, once we finish this war, he will die. You think to yourself, that's a clear hint, don't fight the war. Don't go out. That way Moshe Rabbeinu will live. It's only after the war is over that he's going to have to die. But they went out anyway. This is the most unbelievable war in the world. And they went out with Zrizus. They didn't want Moshe Rabbeinu dead. They gave a kapara, they gave a korban for a kapara for possible machshavos ros, for possible bad thoughts that they had. There's so many crazy things over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu got angry at the people, but not at Pinchas. A little parenthesis. Do you know why Moshe Rabbeinu had to get angry? It's unbelievable revulsion, but it makes unbelievable amounts of sense. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry at 1 second during the day. I don't know what it's like, but he's just sitting there, and then it's done. It's all gone. That 1 second of anger, what's the point in God getting angry for that 1 second during the day? Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that we need anger. Anything that he does is a mida that gets brought down to this world, gets brought down to us. If he gets angry, that means we need that anger. When do we need the anger? Arias. If you see Arias, if you're nice to the Yetzer Hara, just like, oh, Yetzer Hara, come back to me later. Yetzer Hara is not going away. You got to get angry. You got to take that Yetzer Hara and punch him in the face. You got to tear him to bits. You got to crack him on your knee, throw him down on the ground, step on him, and say, I'm not listening to you. And even then you probably won't be able to. You might still falter. You might still look. You got to destroy the Yetzer Hara. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows, in order to beat Arias, we need to have that anger. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu say by Bilam? He said, Baruch Hashem, guys, it's lucky that I didn't get angry at that moment. Because Bilam knew when that moment was, when God got angry. And if I would have gotten angry then, I would have destroyed a lot of Jews. But that meant that they didn't have that anger for that one day. Which meant that they're going to falter in Arias. Which meant that Bilam went straight to Balak and said, if he didn't get angry, that means they're going to fail in Arias. Send your woman. So they sent in the woman. sent in the woman. Bnei Yisrael were not able to take it because they didn't have the kas. Didn't have enough anger. They would say, like, whatever. Oh, man, I just have to go to the bathroom on this idol. That's all it was. They didn't have the anger. They didn't have the anger. They didn't have the audacity to say, like, what? You're sitting here telling me? You're telling me that I have to have this Avodah Zarah in order to... Forget it. They didn't have that anger. The anger was gone. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow it in the world for Bilam not to curse. So therefore, what happened over here? In the war against Midian, what was happening? Klal Yisrael was afraid maybe they were going to sin with these 3-year-old women that were left from the war. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He got angry. Because a gadol's anger can pull itself, can flow onto the people themselves. They'd be able to knock down the Yetzer Haras and not have any Yerurim Rayim. He got angry at them purposely. Not at Pinchas. You don't have to worry about Pinchas. Pinchas just flew up after Bilam. The whole Maisa with Bilam flying up in the air. Flew up after him, grabbed him, and like said, you're loving Arami, and then killed him in the middle of the air. You don't have to worry about Pinchas. Pinchas is cool. He's fine. It's the rest of the people that you're worried about. These people are crazy. At the end of Parshas Maaseh, Bnos Slavchud. You can't get much better than Bnos Slavchud. So usually I relegate this to women's shirim. I don't say this over on guys shirim, but I'm not speaking to women's shirim this week. So happens to be, we got to get over Bnos Slavchud now. They're told at the end of Parshas Maaseh that they can marry anyone they want. People are afraid. They said, if we give our inheritances to Bnos Slavchud, they're going to marry a guy, and the guy's going to be from another Shevet. And what's going to happen? Our Nachla, the inheritance of B'nai Menashe, is going to go to some other Shevet. It's going to go to Yehuda. It's going to go to Shimon. It's going to be a bunch of bald spots in the middle of our nation, owned by other Shvatim, in the middle of our Shevet, in the middle of our area. They didn't want that. So B'nai Slavchad said, listen, we'll do whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. It's an unbelievable thing. Look at what happens over here. Moshe Rabbeinu says, listen, we don't want the Nachla to go from one nation to the other. We understand from one Shevet to the other. We don't want it to go. But you, B'nai Slavchud, you're special. You, B'nai Slavchud, can marry anyone you want. You can marry anybody you want. That's it. Anybody that you want to marry is perfectly fine. Where's the wording over here? It says, B'nai Slavchud, lemor latov b'nam t'yelin anashim. Whoever you want to marry, go ahead and do. Ach, l'mishpachas mate aviyam t'yelin anashim. However, if you want to take my advice, marry into your family of Menashe. Marry into your family of Menashe. Why? It'll just be easier. You won't have to worry about all the problems that people are going to bring up. So if you want my advice, do that. So listen to what happens later on. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein asu b'nos Slavchud. Like Moshe Rabbeinu commanded, what Hashem commanded Moshe, that's what b'nos Slavchud did. What did they do? V'tena machla v'tzirtza v'chogla u'milka v'noah b'nos Slavchud livnei dodeh l'anashim. They married the sons of their uncles. The sons of their uncles, which basically means their cousins. They married their cousins, and they were married to them, and everything was all happy, which means they married the same Shevet. That's not what Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them to do. Moshe Rabbeinu never commanded them to do that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you want to take my advice, go ahead and do this. If you want to take my advice. But Moshe Rabbeinu commanded them, take whoever you want as your wives. But it seems they didn't do exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu had said. They took somebody from their father's family. They didn't want to turn it around. They didn't want to bring the Nachla anywhere else. So what does that mean? Plus, the whole thing is off. How do you normally say they did what Moshe Rabbeinu said? That Yasu B'nai Yisrael Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe. It's the opposite way. Over here, it's Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, Kein Asu B'nos Slavchud. Something's weird over here. So what happens? Leonard Schwab, I'm going to forewarn you, if you don't want to be a good Jew, you can close your ears right now. Because this is heavy stuff. This gets into your Judaism. This is going to affect you. It's going to affect you for the rest of your life. And it feels bad. But this is a classic Rav Schwab. A classic Rav Schwab. I'm telling you, especially. Dave, it's fine. It's fine. This is where it gets a little. Parshas Kedoshim starts off with the concept of Menuvel Bereshis HaTorah. You should be Kadosh. You should be holy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ramban says that is a tzivoy. You should not be a Menuvel Bereshis HaTorah. What's a Menuvel Bereshis HaTorah? It doesn't say anywhere I can't eat steaks every day. It doesn't say anywhere I can't get drunk. What does it say? I can't get high. It doesn't say that anywhere. It's perfectly fine. There's no pasuk. As if that guy has ever read the Torah in his life. As if he's ever read through more than 7 psukim without spacing out like a monkey. As if he's ever done that ever before in his life. He never has. But it doesn't say in the Torah. I'm sure it doesn't. You could say to him, oh yeah, Deuteronomy 12, 13. Go check it out. They'll have no idea. I'd be like, really? He'd be like, yeah. Just tell them. You can just make up something else. They never looked it up. They never seen anything inside. They've never done anything. Here's the lesson. If the Torah is giving you good advice, take it. It's a good idea. That's a really good idea to do. If Moshe Rabbeinu is saying to you, listen, here's what you can do. But, you know, I have a suggestion. I would suggest the following. Marry into your families. Do it. Yirei Shamayim and Tzadikim will look at that as if that's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu commanded me. Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't ask such things from me. Couldn't ask such things from me. I can't demand that you go out and marry because you already got your inheritance, and for me to tell you now looks like I'm taking back something from you. And as says a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to do it to you. But you want to take my advice? If you want to take my advice, marry into your Shvatim. A regular person will be like, wow, I'm doing something special. I'm listening to Yeshua Sedin. Other people look at it and say, like, it's the advice of God. It's not like the advice of Bob. The advice of Bob is nice advice. But it's not the same thing as advice from God. When it's an Eitzah Tova from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that means do it. That is the mitzvah. Sometimes you got to read in between the lines. Sometimes you just got to look in between. That's the whole point of Torah Shebaal Peh. To not look at the pasuk and say, like, oh, clearly I can go ahead and go to this movie. Clearly I can go. Say to yourself, what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to do here? I've gotten 4 or 5 phone calls, I don't remember exactly how many, regarding going to movies during the 3 weeks. Going to movies during 3 weeks. Can I go in a regular movie theater? Can I go if it's outdoors? Can I go in an IMAX? Can I go with a Fox? Can I eat on a train? Can I just like all these crazy, like one after the other, like can I do this? Can I do that? Listen, what do you want me to say? Like, do you want me to say usher? So that you can say back to me, wisdom in Torah. Well, what do you want me to say? I can't tell you it's usher. I can't tell you it's mutter. I can just tell you, you know your sensitivities. You know what the 3 weeks are all about. You realize why you're asking the question. You realize the 3 weeks are all about mourning for the fact that the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So clearly you have that sensitivity. And you realize that it may be that a movie is not good during these 3 weeks. So you have that little bit of a sensitivity. So you decide. You figure it out. You're able to do this. The Eitzah Tova, the good advice that somebody would give you, try to stay away from such things. But about that, you can do it. There's no question you can do it. A Yerush Shemayim will look at that as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to not go, and it's Osir Gomer to go to a movie during the 3 weeks. Osir Gomer, we say in the Torah. It's in between the chof and the pay. That's all it is. Because it's not there. It's not there. But a person who just sits there and says to himself, where is it, and wants to argue, that person already answered his own question. It's not there. It's okay. Go ahead. Have steak every night. Eat as much as you want. Fresavek, as they say in Yiddish. Eat as much as you want, act like a pig, and just do whatever you want. But the fact is, we know what we're supposed to do. This is not... It was on purpose that I went to movies because I did get 4 or 5 phone calls about it this past week. But this is not saying a person shouldn't go to it. Right! Oh my gosh! If the movie happens to be written, directed, and starred by a Jew. And it happens to be something that you know you shouldn't watch. You know you shouldn't watch. On normal days, there's no reason why a person would go ahead and watch this. It just happens to be, and it also happens to be during the 3 weeks. And it happens to be, then it should be guns pushing what your answer should be. Go watch a ballerina movie if you really gotta watch a movie. Just do something else. This should not be like, oh my God, I have to. I have to go ahead. This should be like the week where you just say, that one thing that you absolutely should not do is that. Can I tell you how big, it's just pure of Schwab. Can I tell you how big of a vort this is? After all this, they were there, Mishpachos B'nei Menashe Ben Yosef, Hayu L'Nashem. They married into the Mishpachos B'nei Menashe. Batin Nachalosan Al-Matim Mishpachos Avien, and their Nachala went back to their father's house. The next pasuk, last pasuk in Parshas Maaseh, last pasuk in Bamidbar. Eila mitzvos v'mishpatim. These are the mitzvos and the laws asher tziva Hashem b'yad Moshe that God commanded Moshe al b'nei Yisrael to b'nei Yisrael ba'arvos mo'av in arvos mo'av al Yerden Yericho on the Jordan River, right by Yericho. That's how it ends. You can say chazak. No, I was joking. But you can go into what this pasuk at the very end. What does that have to do with anything? Like, there was a Nachla, there's been a Slavka, they're doing this, they're doing that, and then all of a sudden, oh, by the way, these are the mitzvahs and the mishpatim and everything else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu. What does that have to do with anything? What are you bringing that up for? Shad is, it's unbelievable. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from you. To do what the no Slavka did. to look at something and say, and take the good advice. And to say, that's good advice. That's what I want. To say to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, I'm going to listen to you. Eila mitzvos ha-mishpatim. This is how all mitzvos ha-mishpatim should be. Not just say, oh, I'm forced to do it. Or I have to do it. Or this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah itself. No. To say, this is what I want. Because this is what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants me to do. To guess. To assume, to know that a Kaddish Baruch Hu wants you to do the right thing. What is that right thing? Not always is the right thing the same thing at all times. There are times where, unfortunately, there are crazy things that happen. And there are times where people have to sit back and say to themselves, I need a break. I need a break. I can't deal with this anymore. I have to go do this. I have to go do that. There's nothing wrong watching a movie during the 3 weeks. Nothing wrong with going ahead and eating a lot of meat. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just you're advised not to. There are times where you can't go with that advice. Where do we learn that from? Moshe Rabbeinu and the Meraglim. Shlach lecha anashim. My Eitzah, don't send them. But if you want, you can send them. Moshe Rabbeinu sent them. Micha was one of the bricks in the wall. He was one of the children that were bricks in the wall. Said Moshe Rabbeinu to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you making all these kids die in the wall? He said, trust me. I'm getting rid of the thorns of Klal Yisrael. But if you want to try, go bring one out. You'll see what happens. He was Micha. He had Pesel Micha. With Dustin and Aviram, they were thrown into the river. Moshe Rabbeinu says, why? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why are you killing these kids and throwing them into the river? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, trust me. I know what I'm doing. But if you want, bring them out. You'll see what happens. Dustin and Aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu is famous for it. Erev Rav. Should I take the Erev Rav? No. If you really want to, go ahead. All right. It's unbelievable. So we have a lesson to be learned over here. There's something to be learned. There's something that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted. Yes, there are certain times where you have to go ahead and do things. Certain times where the test has to be made. Where you have to go ahead. We're human beings. We're human beings. There are times where even the best advice has to be not listened to. Because it's not for you at that moment in time. You have to help yourself decide, obviously, with Gedolim. Because that's where Rosh Yamatos comes in. You can't just go ahead and be like, all right, I'm for myself now, and I'm by myself. That's where Rosh Yamatos comes in. To be able to go to a Gadol, and to be able to say, I've had a nether. I've had this nether for years already, and I've said that I'm not going to do this. I feel like I need to right now. And that's where the Gadol comes in. You go to the Gadol, and you say, can you mate this up for me? And the Gadol will say to you, can I do it? Can I not do it? That's the point of being mate yourself, and the idea of the word mate, to be mate to the head. Because you yourself are all taiva. We're all kuro taiva. We have to go to the head and ask the head, what should we do? And that's the idea of being Rosh Yamatos. That's the whole idea of sometimes you have to fight a war. And if you say to yourself, why do I have to kill the kids? Say to yourself, I am not the head. I am not the head. I got to be mocked if those people are in charge. And I don't know. I can't answer that question. That type of idea is right there. And that's shot behind a Gemara Menachos. Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph. We're going to end off with this. The Gemara Menachos and Mem Aleph and Mem Aleph says that, I forgot the Amora and I didn't write it down. I'm sorry. The Gemara says that there was an Amora who wasn't wearing a beged of tzitzis. There's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis. Four-corner beged. It's only if you're wearing a four-corner beged that you have to wear tzitzis. I have no chiyuv to wear tzitzis. Absolutely no chiyuv. After my son threw up on my tzitzis earlier today, I was thinking to myself, I don't have to wear tzitzis. Nighttime, come on, is this and that. But I put on another pair of tzitzis. Number one, because I wear my tzitzis out, people would notice. But number two, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to do. It's a mitzvah to do. What does the Kaddish Baruch Hu want from me? Does he want me to go out without my tzitzis? He probably wants me to wear my tzitzis. This Amora said he wasn't wearing a four-corner beged. So the Malach HaMaves came up to him and said, there's huge plagues if you don't wear your tzitzis. So the Amora said to him, there's no chiyuv to wear tzitzis. Where does that come from? And the line that he said back, Be'idon Rischa, at a time of anger, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes based on that. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for those extra mitzvos. And he looks around and he sees, if the guy is doing those extra mitzvos, and he's treating those things as just advice, why not wear a four-corner beged anyway? What are you losing? With a little bit of extra sweat during the summer, you're going to sweat anyway. It'll probably take out a little bit of the sweat from your shirt. It'll look a little bit better. Go ahead and do it. If you take that advice, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't punish you during that time. You don't, he can't promise you anything. Can't promise you anything. That's what the Malach HaMavetz told this Amora. That's the idea behind the Gemara. Sometimes you just got to take the advice. Other times, go to a Gadol. Ask about it. But sometimes you just got to take that advice. So have a good Shabbos, guys. We'll end with that.